I was just living my life. But then life as I knew it was over. In 2003, I was arrested by the FBI. The government was seeking the death penalty. Every tale of slaying our proverbial dragons, of painful lessons learned, must start somewhere. This one begins here. 18 years of praying, studying the law, doing anything I could to scrabble myself out of that place. And now the moment's finally here, and I can't even believe it's happening. I can't even absorb the one simple fact that finally now is reverberating through me. I am free. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ben Free Podcast. I am here with Amy and Young Ford.
Hey.
We're going to get Tim to introduce himself in a moment. So first, though, ladies first, chivalry is not dead. Amy, why don't you say how you came to be here?
I actually have a really close friend, Ghostwrite Mike, incarcerated right now, and he was in contact with Young Ford here, and he told me that he had a phenomenal talent that was worth listening to. So he gave me a call one day on the weekend, and I answered, and he started performing.
On the phone?
Yep, on the phone. I asked him what kind of music he did, and he just went right into a song.
Crazy.
It piqued my interest, I will say.
Now, in a good way or a bad way, were you like, this dude is just singing to me? Or were you like, wow, this is really good?
No, first he really bothered me because I don't answer calls that I don't know. And he took me by surprise. And I think I was watching something on Netflix. And then he's like, oh, you know, I want to work with you.
So he was calling you, were calling her from there then, right?
Yeah, I was calling her from prison. So I ended up calling her from prison.
No, the day when you got out, I'm talking about.
Oh, the day I got out?
Yeah, when you got out. And then what kind of music do you make? And then he went into it, and I said, oh, I sat up straight and started putting him on the phone with
you
everybody.
You did the meerkat?
Hmm? Yeah, literally. Yeah. And so, yeah.
It was a nice experience, though, you know? I mean, when I seen her, I'm like, look, I really need this chance. I've been doing a lot of things as far as when I was in prison, and just the music is just playing in my head over and over and over again.
Let the rhythm move you.
No, for real. Yeah. So it was pretty nice that she really took me on, because, you know, I was going through a lot in prison. So I just, that was my way of coping with things, was music. You know, I went to the hole, which is in prison. Solitary confinement.
So, what was that like? You got out. I'm trying to replay this in my head. So, the first day you got out, you called her?
Yeah, the first day I called her.
You're like opening literally the plastic bag with your belongings while you're calling her? Like that new?
Yeah, like, no, seriously. Like, so I got picked up by my mom. And then right after I got picked up, I went to the house and I gave her a call. And showed her some stuff, and she liked me. She told me to come to LA to get in the studio, and we got straight to it.
Central California, right?
Yeah, Central. So I'm from Bakersfield, California, so that's...
When I was growing up, I thought that all of Bakersfield was just those fruit stands when I was a little kid. Then I had a friend that lived there, and I'm like, wow, this place is big. I thought it was just these fruit stands.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people tend to dislike the country, so... Farms, a whole lot of cows, horses. But I mean, it's a great place, though. You know, it hasn't been since, you know, a lot of things has been going on, crime rates, all different type of things. So I mean, Bakersfield is really kind of bad, but you got to make the best of it.
Now, going back to
Ghost Rider Mike. All these characters would prefer to be known by their inside name. And Mundo, who has become my mentee inside for writing and some, hopefully, as we move along, you know, some basic, like, dealing with life on life's terms kind of questions, because those things come up. This was in Chowchilla, right? In Valley State Prison?
Right.
When you met Mike?
Yeah.
And so were they doing similar things in there? Were they writing and rapping, or how did they figure out that that was something you did? Were you in there at the same cell with them, or how did that work?
Well, so actually I met him on the yard, and me personally, I was on the yard and I was writing music and I was just staying to myself because I was trying to be in tune with the music. So a lot of people start actually seeing that and they start coming up to me like, hey, do you rap? And I'm like, yeah. So they like spit something from me. Instantly, I give them a good what I got and they just start falling in love with me. Everybody in prison like keep asking me like, hey, bro, let me hear this. Let me hear that. Let me hear this. And I'm just blessed.
That's really cool, man. Now, what did you feel when you were inside? Let's say, obviously, everybody has a starting point. I say that because for myself, sometimes I wrote because I had to. I'm in college now, so most of the time I write because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when I just get this emotion or this thought or something that won't go away, like an itch I can't scratch until I either turn it into lyrics or poem or something or even a story. So was there some kind of feeling you had? Like, I think we talked before about how jail and prison tend to make you feel like no one can hear you, like you're invisible, like
you're
you can't
by yourself.
Be heard.
Like, so for me, like, I was going through a lot. Like, you know, I got things that I'm going on with as far as in gang banging, things like that, that I'm really not proud of. But, you know, that was my thing. I'm like, dang, like, people that say that they love you, which is your homies, they ain't doing nothing for you.
Right.
So it's like, that was my thing. Like, I'm like, man, like, I gotta make something out of myself.
One of those, I got your back, way back. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody disappears when you get locked up.
You noticed that because you were one of the few people who didn't disappear, so.
Yeah.
That's what doesn't get told a lot, is that if somebody's standing by somebody, family member, close friend, lover, whatever, and then everybody else abandoned them, everything falls on that one or two people, and that's the other way, because that person's doing the time too. It's not the same psychological experience, but in some ways it's just as powerless and hard, you know?
Right. Yeah, man. I appreciate it. Like, I appreciate, like, the struggle, the pain, the things that I went through from starting my prison term to getting out. And now I'm better than ever, you know, ready to take my career to the next level.
Well, that's part of what we're doing here, right?
Yeah. What's interesting about him is he didn't do music before he went in. So
really?
He really developed his writing while he was locked up and is a very, very good writer.
Now that speaks pretty much to the core of the program I've sort of adopted along with you now, Bars Behind Bars, because just the idea of that's bars with a Z behind bars with an S. People want to start looking us up on socials and stuff. I'm helping. I'm playing kind of a masthead personality. My schedule is such that I don't have time to be nonstop in it. But now I'm making a lot of calls and connecting with a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Amy and I have been kind of coordinating because we would like to give other people the chance that you've had in there yourself too. Because not everybody just gets out and says, oh, hey, by the way, here's the talent manager's number. We'll go ahead and give him a call.
Yeah, for real. For
That's
real.
Not really the way that works.
Nah, at all. You got to work for it, man.
So I got a cheat sheet here because I want to make sure I don't miss any of this. But just so our executive behind the walls here can be happy that the exact words are coming out. So Bars Behind Bars is, by their own definition, a poetry workshop for youth offenders. But anyone can capitalize on it, but it is targeted for youth offenders using Dwayne Betts' American Book Award-winning poetry book called Felon.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwayne Betts, he has a project called Freedom Reads, and he's partnered with an incredibly talented architect, and they have made these sort of prefab library structures so they can go with really cool Asian design and four or five panels just set up a library that houses 750 books.
Mm-hmm.
And what Dwayne has done is he's picked what he thinks are the 750 most important books for a person who's inside and locked up and seeking education, rehabilitation, to read, to try to gain some insight and to change themselves while they're inside. So that's what's cool about Freedom Reads, is because reads sounds like books, but it's also a verb. You know, freedom itself reads. Like, if you're free, you're going to be out here reading and trying to intake information and learning and expanding your mind.
Right.
So they're going around setting up hundreds of these things a year in different prisons all across the U.S. So I'm definitely proud to be attached to his movement in doing that. He also has been attached with a man named Mitch Jackson, and he is, to my knowledge, the first formerly incarcerated person to win the Pulitzer for writing specifically. Mm-hmm. I met Mitch by chance, actually, because I was doing some activism and I went to Atlanta for the Free the Vote conference. Mm-hmm. And he was speaking, and I saw him up there speaking, and he has a whole section in this book called The Sentences That Create Us, Crafting a Writer's Life in Prison. And the editor for that book, Kate Meisner, who is the director of the Penn Prison Writing Program, was a guest on the show. She was promoting that book. So it's interesting how all these things start to tie together.
Yeah.
And Mitch had a whole section in the book. So, you know, I got to go up and talk to him after I said, hey, you know, I think we have a mutual professional friend. And I said, Kate, and he said, Kate Meisner? Oh, yeah. So I explained the scenario. He said, oh, man, we got to take a picture together. And since I have the beauty of post, hopefully we'll try to slice that picture in later for the video version, but
mm-hmm.
we took a selfie. So he and I stood up, and actually we had somebody take a picture of us, come to think of it, and I texted that to Kate and said, hey, this dude says he knows you. It's like you win one Pulitzer and you think everybody's supposed to know who you are, you know. So he was very accommodating. He actually talked to me for about 45 minutes, and we were in an auditorium, or kind of like a banquet hall, that housed 600 people, and everybody had left. And it got to where the manager of the Marriott Marquis is like, Mr. Jackson, can we have the room, please? We've got another party coming in here. And he's just sitting there talking to me about what I need to do to work on my writing. So
mm-hmm.
those are the kind of people that we've had involved with this movement. So for Mundo and Mike, we are going to show their logo on a little bit later and hopefully play a few clips for what they're doing in there. But the 38% of the 100,000 people in prisons don't even have a GED.
Yeah.
So Valley State Prison itself has actually become a specifically youth offender targeted community.
Right.
And I was in a class right before I left where Fresno State had been allowed to go behind the walls, and they allowed laptops in for the students.
Oh yeah, they have that at Valley State Prison too right now. They got laptops in there. So if you're doing college courses or anything like that, they give you a laptop. They got tablets now, you know, they got a lot of good things for the youth defender program.
The tablet is how I got this, because they're able now to text.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we do texting. They got music, Spotify on there. They got a lot of different things, podcasts and things like that, that we can learn from. So
yeah. And the issue that's coming up, and that's been close to the heart of Mike and Mundo and these other guys in there, is that they have it set up now for them to be consumers, but not creators. And there are people in there like yourself who need to create in order not just to find fulfillment, but to give their mind something positive to do and inspire other people with what they're doing. I mean, everybody that's a youth offender now, with very few exceptions, gets transferred to this one prison. But they send them there. They don't have things like journalism or a paper or groups in particular that they can go to for writing or they don't have that kind of stuff there. So
studios, they don't have any, really, to be honest. So how I started rapping was basically me just beating on my chest.
Right.
I'm beating on my chest the whole time. But I feel like if we had a program that was a studio, then it'd be better for other people to be able to express themselves.
Sure.
You know, to come up with things that they're going through inside of there.
And that's my thought, too. And I mean, he said, he pointed out that here that some of the things like the laptop, the DAW, the drum machine, the step sequencer, the groove box, mm-hmm. the little MIDI control thing.
They have apps now on phones and tablets where you can just make the beats. You don't even need anything else. It doesn't even have to be connected to the internet.
Right.
So it could be something like that where it's controlled, but they can still create.
And they can see everything that happens before
it's
comes out, they don't have to put any kind of, you know, secret rebellious literature out or anything. That they can actually see what goes out the same way they do with the mail. But my thought is, that's a perfectly legitimate career.
Mm-hmm.
What you have stepped into is a perfectly legitimate career. So in the same prison, they got cosmetology. You can learn how to do nails. They got plumbing and electrical and really? HVAC for, they got all kinds of different vocational schools. I went to a computer vocational school. Mm-hmm. So why not sound engineering? What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Especially now, they used to say, well, we don't want to record things, but it's a little late for that now. Now they got laptops. Now they have laptops with a camera in the cell. So they can have video chat while they're sitting there on their bunk. Mm-hmm. Are you really going to say you can't? Oh, we're afraid of images? It's kind of like a bygone age thing. Like, they really do, not just this one prison, but all of them need to create a way for people to start learning how to make their sounds. And that's why a lot of other people involved in this movement, including Common, has his movement called Rebirth the Sound. Mm-hmm. And that is about bringing the sound behind the walls so that people can hear those concerts. And now that is being expanded to include people learning how to make the sound. Yeah. So looks like in June, if all goes well, we're going to be going back behind the wall there inside the prison and setting up kind of like a tech sort of workshop thing where people can learn how to record, do some basic tracks, get interviewed for in a kind of a similar format to what we're doing now.
Yeah.
They won't be formal podcasts, but we're going to have journalists and cameras set up for interviews, and people can get a taste of what that's like. Because once you realize you can create something, wasn't that empowering for you when you realized that you could just make something and all of a sudden people respond to it? You get to watch things that came out of your head and your heart changing people's mood around you. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I mean, once people start just like really adapting to the music that you really, the things that you got on this piece of paper that you didn't write out, that you didn't went through, it's like, it's a beautiful feeling to actually let them see your story. Like actually vision or feel it. Like a lot of times people that are in prison or people that is outside of prison, people are expressing things based on what they go through. So that's exactly what I'm doing. So when I show somebody this and they like, dang man, like I went through that, or I like how you said that, like it's just a blessing.
Yeah, see, that's the commonality. People say, wait, I've been through what this person went through and this person made it out of it okay. So when I have these moments where I'm thinking, I can't make it, it's too hard, I can't do this, if I look at somebody else that has been through the same thing and made it out of the other side, it changes things.
Inspiring, gives you hope.
I've even had guys that I didn't know that well hit me up on social media saying, hey, you adopted to the 21st century like you were born here. You spent 2 decades back there, what were you doing? And I said, well, the secret is I was a nerd before I got here. So I was reading up on things a little bit. I knew all of the mechanics of Facebook. I just didn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
Embarrassing Facebook story. When I first started the show, you know, you have people and guests that have oftentimes a bigger following than I would have without the people that are guests. So I went from like 300 Facebook friends to 5,000. And I think it was 3 days or 4 days. And I didn't know how to set
it. Oh, he was working hard.
I didn't know how to set it up. I think the algorithm was working hard or the bots or whatever.
Oh my God.
But when I talked to people involved and Macca, they said, just accept everybody and weed it out later. So I said, okay, not realizing that maybe 1,000 or 2,000 of these people were either hookers or bots or both. And so I kept having people say, have you seen the people from my old church? Like, have you seen some of the people that are attached to your Facebook? I said, where are you seeing this? Right there, the posts are putting up, they're really raunchy. I'm like, where? So I'd go look at Facebook and couldn't find them. And this isn't like, I'm talking about a long time ago, like a month ago, somebody finally said, you need to do something about those posts. And they were sitting next to me. I said, look, I don't see them. And they said, that's not Facebook, that's Messenger. I'm like, what's the difference? It says Facebook. They're like, no, Messenger's just like texting. Facebook is here. And then they hit this other icon and it comes up. And I said, I've never been to Facebook the whole time. So then I actually started looking at all the stuff and I got freaked out and deleted the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a whole new world. And inside, one difficulty, if you remember, is at least for myself, I kept thinking, God, it's going to be so much easier when I can have a computer and I can do this and that. But what you don't realize is as soon as you get that, the amount of things you have to do increases exponentially too, because you're not just getting mail with stamps and paper, you're getting 60 emails at a time.
Oh yeah, you're working harder than you thought you was working already.
The overload.
Yeah. It's a lot. Sure. But the great thing is being able to go through that. You know, build. Like, okay, well, I done went through this and I done came out, so I'm going to elevate. Just keep elevating. And you just like that. You just like the growth. Like, me personally, I love growth.
Yeah.
And I see myself growing every day. It's a blessing.
You know, this. We don't like resistance naturally, but that's the only way things happen. There are no workout routines that involve just lying still and not being uncomfortable.
I wish.
That's not how that works. Yeah. You have to strain and go through struggle and resistance and even pain to be able to come on the other side of that. Like a diamond. Remember how we were talking about that? A diamond is just coal that's been pressurized and heated until it's almost destroyed, and then it crystallizes and becomes a diamond.
Yeah.
People can be like that. We can be like that lump of coal inside, go through the pressures and near-death experiences and gang violence and all these things going on inside, and come out of that shining, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, man.
Now, what in a perfect world, what would you want most for the impact of your music to be to other people? Who would you most want to affect? Would it be like kids growing up, people to be inspired for careers?
Yeah, I would say the kids, but also the people that, I say everybody. Like everybody that's, because I feel like I don't care where you come from. It could be rich, it could be poor. Everybody goes through something. Everybody, like everybody has a story to tell, whether it's being in the streets, whether it's going through depression because your mom or dad is always not home, and you got all of this money in the world, but you're still not happy. So everything is always just, yeah.
Yeah, happiness and, like, happy, the word happy comes from the same root word as happening, which just means it's just kind of there right now. That's what's happening at the moment. But I'm not trying to feel happy. I'm trying to feel blessed. Like, the root word for bless in the Greek is makaroi, and it means like full, satisfied, content. Like you have everything that you need. Right. Not just, hey, I'm in a weird mood right now, or I'm feeling a funky vibe, but do you have the things that you actually need? And do you recognize even when bad things happen, well, I can't complain because overall I'm really blessed. Like if I still am enjoying rush hour traffic.
Oh man.
I know that sounds crazy, but I'd be talking to people on the phone. And they'd be like, oh, God, this rush hour is killing me. And I'd go, God, I can't wait to get stuck in rush hour.
Oh, man, no way.
This call is monitored and recorded.
That's from sitting in that cell for too long. Yeah. Man. It's like, man, I got some freedom. I can just go in and just live life. I can just
appreciate the little things.
Yeah.
And also, for me now, rush hour is one of the only places I get anything done. Mm-hmm. I called my dad on the way over here, and he said, where are you driving? And I had to laugh because he's like, you know, you only call me when you're driving, right? I said, yeah, but lucky for you, I'm driving all the time.
But now I'm in a rush hour, so it's even better for you.
I mean, Audible has become my friend because not just the show, but a few other projects I have going all the time because that's the way my head and life work. I also am in full-time school taking 15 units at UCLA. I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm an English major, and it's just book after book after book. But I have learned the miracle of Audible. I can just walk around when I'm running, when I'm going to the gym, when I'm on my way to work or a class. I'm just constantly playing.
Your brain doesn't drift?
It took a while. I'd have to keep replaying stuff, but now I've gotten used to it. I do one kind of like self-improvement book all the time, so I'll do that for a little bit. I just read 50 Cent's Hustle Harder.
Oh, I have that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I'm reading right now The Power of Habit. Learning the things that make a habit. And these are things that we didn't really have access to inside. So it would be great if it did. So the people want people to come out. There are people who say they just want to lock everybody up forever. But either way, the reality is 95% of the people in there are coming out at some point. So how do we want them when they get out? How do they want us when we get out? Do they want us to just be upset, angry, you know, creatively uninspired and bored, or thinking like, well, I've been at 19 job interviews and nobody will hire me. Screw it. I'm going to go hit this lick real quick. And then pretty soon, armed robbery. You know what I mean? How many times have you seen that happen?
Man, I didn't see it happen so many times. So was my first time going to prison. So I went to prison and I spent 5 years in there. And it was my first term, but I have a lot of family members.
Last term too.
First and last. So I have a lot of family members
that
like gang members. So I already knew kind of like I didn't want to be a part of that. Like, but I had to go through things. So.
Yeah. And if you don't go through things to get it, is the thing you get really that worthwhile? If somebody picked you up in a helicopter and dropped you off at the top of Mount Everest, do you think you'd really have the same feeling as you would have if you had climbed it? Just if you had climbed it yourself, the air would be sweeter, the view would be better, and you'd feel a sense of accomplishment. Man, I really did that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, how much is a black belt? Oh, that's $2,000. Okay. Give me $2,000 and here's your black belt.
But like, you didn't work for
it. You didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. You got to go through some things.
Yeah. You know? And that's a blessing, you know. It's a blessing going through things. A lot of people that's successful in life, as far as in like with prison, you would just want to just have that opportunity.
And success is also, like, people use the word all the time, but everybody means something different by it. Everyone.
Exactly.
You know, like, when Garen was on the show recently and you were hiding in the shadows, he had to drag you out into the
light.
I wasn't hiding. I know. But when he was here, he didn't even mention anything about Grammy nomination or any stuff. We had to kind of like pull that stuff out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came out anyways, he said, yeah, I mean, it's cool, but I'm not impressed because he's got his goals set higher than that. He wants to do something else.
Like, right.
He's trying to. So, but that's true for everybody, because some people's success is they got a family, they own their own house, they got a couple cars, the kids are happy, they got enough to get by, they can save $100 a month. That's fine. Some people, that's not enough. They want to be striving for the moon. And some people, like you alluded to earlier, have every material thing they could want and then kill themselves. I mean, it's like, that's not
very true.
Was the person successful that was so unhappy with all of their material things that they wanted to end their life? I wouldn't really call that success. So
at all.
We have to use different metrics for what do we consider success. And for me, the Bars Behind Bars, and that's actually only one project. There's all kinds of projects these guys have going. A much larger scope is really my focus of the Ben Free podcast for the season, and that is just literacy through microphone, whether that be public speaking. Podcasting format is basically public speaking, except we're seated and there's no podium. But you're still giving a public message when you do your music. You're giving a public message when you talk about your clients. I'm giving a public message when I introduce guests and talk about it. There's messaging going on, and people can receive that. And if they really are in an open mind space, people can be inspired, they can be moved, they can be changed. Sometimes I'll hear one quote and it'll change how I'm thinking about things for weeks.
Yeah,
you know, just one little thing.
That's what I love about Instagram. They always have all kinds of quotes on there.
Yeah, they're all inspirational things. They can make you laugh too.
Yeah. But
now, you're kind of an odd professional character. If I'm not mistaken, you didn't have much to do with hip hop or anything before this all happened, did you?
Actually, that's how I met Ghostwrite Mike. I was managing him before he went in. And so he was doing a lot of music himself. And that's how, when he met Ford here, he knew immediately that he was talented, that he had what it takes. So I took a long time off of working in the music space and just focusing on media and broadcasting and international distribution, things of that nature. But then kind of got back into it.
Now, was it the music or the story or the fact that the experience that happened to someone you knew well that drew you in?
I was just hanging out with a friend often, and he signed to Quavo from the Migos. And Yeah, Navarro. And he was often complaining about things not getting done with his management and little things, which I could do that with my eyes closed, you know. So I just started doing little management tasks for him here and there, and then it became into building his website and photo shoots and these types of things. And through him, I met Tone, who then introduced me to a handful of artists that I started working with very closely.
She dope.
And when you see somebody who works and you like their work ethic and you watch that, you can envision them with the connections that you know. Even if it's like a different field, you say, you know, that person would be really good. And like one of my jobs, I copyright and do some media liaison and occasionally a podcast or two for a cryptocurrency company called Luna One. Well, they have an affiliate company called New Real that's all about entertainment in the metaverse. Mm-hmm. And so for this week, they've all been talking about that they need to find a way to get a channel for middle, they say middle artists, and they just mean, you know, people that are really good, that but they can still afford them. That's essentially what they mean to do shows. So I thought it would be funny, without telling you first, to let you know that I may have an in for you in an entire metaverse.
Okay.
If you want to bring some clients, can you have Young Ford out here actually hitting his beats in a metaverse? You could be in like a 22-foot avatar walking around, stomping on stuff, you know?
Yeah.
The world's changing fast. I mean, this metaverse space is, it's like this other reality layered into the reality going on right now.
Yeah.
And people say, well, oh, that's crazy. I don't want it. I'm like, that's really just what you're doing when you watch a movie.
Yeah.
You're putting yourself in the character's head. So it comes down to being identifiable and being able to relate. And for an artist, it comes to being relatable. Mm-hmm. If you portray something perfectly and you convey exactly what you're trying to and no one can relate, you are going to be a very poor artist.
Yeah.
You have to be able to be relatable, to show struggles that other people have had, you know?
Yeah.
No, he's very relatable. You put him in a room with anybody and he can network and get along with everybody. He's not shy. He goes up to anyone. He's like, hey, what's up? I'm Young Ford, you know?
I mean, when it's like dealing with music, though, it's like when you're dealing with music, that I'm able to like just really just fall in tune with you, because it's like I have something to show you that if you will like it, it might help you out, whatever the case may be. So that's my little thing. I feel better talking about music. I feel better doing music.
Better doing music. Mm-hmm. Now, luckily, audience out there, you're not going to have to take his word for it, because we are going to have him do a piece in a little bit here.
Yeah.
Have a little big screen moment, yeah?
Yeah.
See how he got signed?
Let's get it.
Yes. Are you going to bring a desk and a spoon?
Oh my God.
Start beating on my chest. Yeah. That's how I was doing it. Start beating on my chest, like, yeah.
So are you doing this one project at a time, or do you have some broader vision that's you haven't told anyone yet?
Oh, no, it's definitely a team sport, I guess you could say. There's always tons of projects going on at once, certain things taking priority over others at different times, but everybody plays an important part, an important role in the team, and all it takes is just everything to click together, and we'll be the next OVO. No.
Well, and sure, also, if we can actually become successful in getting some of this equipment that Ghostwrite Mike and Mundo were talking about, wanting to be able to have some of this recording equipment inside where people can actually be trained to do those things.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of talent in there.
I got a friend who he does the trailers for the movie channel they have there, and he used to do like Super Bowl commercials and stuff, and then he got arrested and he's trying to get out in front of the parole board, but meanwhile there's these talented people that are just stuck in this spot and it's kind of untapped. And so it could be a real gold mine if, how many people are there doing these really cool rhymes and flows and things that nobody gets to hear because they're in the hole and it's just the people in the hallway listening, you know?
Man, I'm telling you, look, this is what we used to do in prison. So it used to be like a gang of us, and then we'll go in the yard and then everybody would come out that know how to rap, and we'll just all just get in a circle taking turns rapping and just like really kind of like battling. But it was fun, man. Like, and like you said, it is a lot of great people that's talented in prison that don't get the chance that other people have. So it's a blessing, and people should be able to understand that it's a lot of people that's in prison that need that chance, that need these things, these resources, so that they can become something instead of just being the person that, you know, the system always think that we need to be.
Now, if you went inside and didn't even it sounds like you didn't really realize you could write. You just kind of found out when you started doing music, right?
Yeah, to be honest with you, yeah, like, it started like that. I was like, the writing really just came about of me just going through things. So I just start writing on a piece of paper what I'm going through, and then with the melody and the beating on my chest, it just all just became one.
Now, what would you offer as advice for people who are inside and are feeling inspired to try to do something, but they're feeling like, well, it's never going to go anywhere. Nobody's ever going to hear me anyways. What would be your message to them?
My message to them would be keep pushing, keep striving, because regardless of what people that are in prison tell you that you not or can't do, it's a lie. Because I'm telling you, I'm in the flesh right now. I just got out and start doing like all type of show, like, well, recording, and now I'm my manager. She's a great person and she blessed me, and it's just, I'm doing bigger and better things for my life. So you'll be able to do it. I wanted to rap, you can do it. Whatever it is that you want to do, write poems, you can do it. Just keep striving. That's all I can say.
And be good to people, because if you're really talented, but you aren't kind to the people you meet in your journey, those people who would have been able to help you probably won't, because they won't want to hang out with you. So yeah, it's important to be kind to other people and treat them well on the way up. I always say be nice to the gatekeepers. When I got hired to write a screenplay in prison, I was always really kind to the receptionist and to everybody I talked to on the phone.
Yeah.
And they would comment on it. Like, most people just act like I'm not even here, but you're always really nice. Well, it turns out one of them ended up being the person, when she became a reader and was working on things, who handed something I wrote to somebody higher up, and then it went somewhere because I'm kind to the gatekeeper.
Well, everybody's just nice, everybody. To everyone in general.
Yeah, because you never know who you're going to be around. Right? You never know who you're entertaining. Yeah,
and you open up doors by doing that. So we are about prepared to be inspired. We've got the big screen fired up over here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick break.
Very excited for
I'm going to do a shameless promotion of Bars Behind Bars here when we come back.
Yeah.
Hopefully play a little bit of tracks from Ghostwrite Mike and Mundo so you can be able to hear that before you come back. Be interesting for you to hear that in here.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll be playing that before we come back, but we're going to take a quick break to set up for that, and then we'll be back.
All right.